Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6 this evening. Isaiah chapter 6. Last week, God asked the question, who will go? Who will go? And Isaiah, thankfully, said, here am I, send me. And God did. And God used Isaiah in an amazing way. The book of Isaiah is a beautiful book, as we're finding, as we're walking through it. And I think one of the reasons for that is because here we had a willing servant, Lord, send me. I don't know what you're going to do with me, but I know that you're God, and I know you'll do what's best. Here am I. And, you know, after he said that in verse 8, here am I, send me. Look at what God said in verse 9. He said, go and tell the people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. So, God said, go and tell. That's the title tonight, Go and Tell. Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts this evening. Thank you for the privilege to be here. We give you this service. We pray you'll be glorified in it. You'll use your powerful word in each of our hearts to accomplish your will. We ask that you be in control of every aspect of our service now. We give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So right after expressing his willingness to go, here am I, send me, God says to Isaiah, the first word, go. And Jesus said the same to you and me right before he went back to heaven, didn't he? And let's look at Mark 16, the Great Commission. Jesus was speaking to his disciples and to us and giving us our marching orders. After we've hopefully said to him, here am I, here's Christ's answer. Verse 15 of Mark 16, and he said unto them, go. Sound familiar? Go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So, notice, go and preach. He said to Isaiah, go and tell. If you're born again tonight, you're a preacher. Because, you know, a lot of times we hear the pastor referred to as the preacher. But we're all preachers. We're not all pastors, but we're all preachers if we're saved. Because we've all been commanded by our Savior, our King, our God, to go and preach the gospel to every creature. That is what God wants from us. And the devil doesn't want that. That's the truth of it. Really, he only has two goals. And that is try to keep people from getting saved, and then trying to keep Christians from getting excited by either ruining their testimony or keeping them complacent and lukewarm. The last thing he wants is Christians that care about the lost and will go and preach the gospel. And when God was telling Isaiah, go back to our passage, to go and tell, notice what he said, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not. The reason I brought up the devil is because the devil is the one that is blinding minds from hearing and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Let's turn over there, where it's explained to us who is blinding minds. Remember, what the devil wants is for people to not get saved. So what he does is he makes it difficult for them to understand and hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So what happens if they're not blinded? Lest the light should shine. So our responsibility is to tell. Their responsibility is to believe. And the devil, I'm not going to use the word responsibility, but the devil uses everything in his power to stop that process by blinding minds and making it difficult for people to be saved. Should make us that much more grateful that we are saved. That we had opportunity, that the Holy Spirit broke through and gave us the opportunity, shined in our hearts, pulled at our hearts, and we heard the gospel, we believed it, and we got saved. Think about all the people that are blinded. And God was warning Isaiah. I want you to go and I want you to tell the truth to my people, but a lot of them aren't going to believe. As a matter of fact, the majority of them aren't going to listen. So things haven't changed much. The majority of people today don't listen to the gospel. Because, again, the God of this world is blinding them. Ephesians 4:18, the Bible says that their understanding is darkened because of the blindness of their heart. Again, it should make us that much more grateful for our salvation, that we did hear and we did believe. Because what has to happen, go back to our passage in Isaiah 6, there has to be an understanding in the heart for people to get saved. People have to understand the gospel to be saved. We talked about this in our witnessing class. Notice he says to Isaiah in chapter 6, verse 10, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart. What's the Bible tell us in Romans 10, 9? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt what? Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The heart has to get involved. Believe in thine heart. And that's what the devil's trying to prevent. So if you would look at Luke chapter 24, where we see Jesus Christ spending time with his disciples after the resurrection. At first they didn't recognize him, but eventually they did. And I want you to notice what Christ's goal was. As he spent time with his disciples during that time between the resurrection and the ascension, here in Luke 24:45, the Bible says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He opened their understanding. These are guys that he just spent 3.5 years with. But he opened their understanding. He opened up the Old Testament and said, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. That they might understand the Scriptures. And that is the very thing that the devil's trying to prevent. Look at 2 Corinthians again, chapter 4 again, but look at verse 6 this time. Because the bad news is the God of this world is blinding minds. The good news is God's more powerful than the devil. Amen? Look at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what happened to us. The light shined in our hearts and gave us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, and we understood. And we got saved. But Isaiah was warned. Many will not understand. And they will not convert. They will not change their ways. 1 John, if you would turn there, chapter 5 and verse 20. 1 John 5:20, and we know, the Bible says, that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Look at that word, understanding. God hath given us an understanding. The Holy Spirit shined in our hearts, gave us an understanding of the gospel, and we believed. That's one of the things He does on earth today. Praise God, He does. So God says, I want you to go and I want you to tell. Many will not believe. Many will not understand, but some will. You know, in describing Paul's ministry, right at the end of the book of Acts, the Bible says, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Imagine that. Some people didn't believe Paul's preaching. And he was obviously a very good preacher. Planted a lot of churches. Some people still didn't believe. It's not about the quality of the gospel. It's about the situation of the heart of the hearer. And that's why it's beyond our responsibility to, quote unquote, save people. We can't. We don't. God saves people. All we do is share the gospel. We're just to go and tell. The rest is between them and God. And whether or not they believe, if we've given them the gospel, that's not our responsibility if they don't believe, and it's not our responsibility if they do believe. That's between them and God. It's our responsibility to go and tell. And you know what happens to some? Back in our passage, Isaiah 6:10, it says, and convert and be healed. This is what the disciples tried for initially in the early ministry of Peter and the other disciples, was to see the Jews converted. And it went really well for the first little bit in Jerusalem. People were getting saved by the hundreds. But unfortunately, it didn't last very long. It wasn't long before Paul had to say, I'm wiping the dust off my shoes. I'm going to the Gentiles. And it spread around the world. We go to Matthew 18, where Jesus mentioned this word converted. And by the way, this verse here in Isaiah 6, talking about understanding with the heart and being converted and being healed and so forth, it's quoted at least 6 times in the New Testament. That's pretty rare for the same verse to be quoted that many times. You can look that up in your concordance this week and see how many times Isaiah 6, 9, and 10 are quoted in the New Testament. But notice Matthew 18:3, and he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then look at Acts chapter 3, and we'll see the same thing coming out of Peter's mouth after Pentecost. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Peter said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And then if you would look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Which brings us into the church age, and sure enough, that is our mission, is to give them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and some will be converted. Look at 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Look at this next phrase. If God peradventure, what a word, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Peradventure. In other words, it's between them and God. They might get saved and they might not get saved. We believe that man has been given a free will, that we have a choice. whether to get saved or to not get saved. The Calvinists, of course, believe that we don't have a choice. That if we're the chosen ones, that God's going to force us to get saved. And if we're not the chosen ones, we don't have any hope of getting saved no matter what. But once you remove free will from the equation, then a lot of the Bible begins to fall apart. God gave us free will so that we can choose to get saved, and we can choose to serve Him, we can choose to love Him, we can choose to do the right thing, or we can choose not to. That's what it means to be converted. We hear, the Holy Spirit gives us an understanding, and we are converted. We believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. As Isaiah said, convert and be healed. If you're saved tonight, you are healed. Now, the charismatics want to take this verse and make it talk about physical healing, but that's not what the verse is talking about. The Bible says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Before you got saved, you had a disease. It was called sin, and it was going to condemn you to hell. And when you got saved, you were healed of that disease. For all of eternity, you were given, as we read here, righteousness by Jesus Christ, and you were healed. You were converted, and you were healed. Praise God. So our responsibility, just as it was Isaiah's, is to first of all say, here am I. Like he did last week. Here am I. Send me. And when we say that, that doesn't mean we're saying, Lord, I know you're going to send me to some faraway country. Probably won't. But you got to be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. Here am I. Send me. And the very next thing God says, go and tell. If you're willing, if you're truly willing to say, after God says, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? To say, here am I, send me. God's given us His marching orders. Go. Go and tell. Go next door. Go to your workmates. Go to your family. Go. But tell. And some won't understand, but some will. Some won't be converted, but some will. And that's between them and God. But our responsibility is to go and tell. So, Lord willing, we're all willing to fulfill that simple commission. Go and tell. Let's pray.